here we are, live. Rock to Recovery Radio episode, put in a number, I am not even sure. I don't, for all you guys that were at home, that's what happens when you have sleep deprivation via the time change that we had, daylight savings time, try to come in and run a console that you're really not familiar with. And I do remember Greg telling me, if you hit that button, all the songs will play at once. So that's what you heard. Anyhow, this is Rock to Recovery Radio on 93.5, KX93.5, Laguna's only FM. And my name is Wesley Gear. I'm your host, and I'm a sober dude that is really, really passionate about recovery. I mean, who hasn't been touched by this disease of addiction, eating disorders, mental health? We lose so many loved ones, friends, rock stars that we care about. We lose way too many. So the whole idea of the show is to interview rock stars, celebrities, or just rad humans who've been through it, you know, been through the ringer. And the reality is, when we're in those spots, we're near death. We're killing ourselves and we can't stop. But there's a bunch of people who made it out, found a way out. And that's what the show is about, to talk to these people. They can share their stories, their experience, their strength, their hope. And so if you're listening at home, maybe it'll help you feel not so alone. Maybe it'll help you get some answers. But we want to destigmatize this disease. And because that's what it is, folks. It's a disease. For so many, it's not a choice. It's a disease that just overtakes your body, mind, and spirit. And, you know, we want to make it a safe topic to talk about. And I feel like if you're hearing like a rock star or a celeb or just some rad human that's kicking butt in the world and they've overcome, then it proves that you can do it too. You know what I mean? Right? That's the whole point. That's the whole point here. So we have a really cool guest today. Pretty young gal named Mindy Davey. And she's going to share a story with us. She actually won the front of the line contest for
America's Got Talent.
Yes. That's so cool. And so she's a singer,
yes,
songwriter. And, of course, that has a special place in my heart. You know what I mean?
Yep.
Not that I can sing well at all. But the plight of the musician in this industry. I think, you know, musicians, a lot of us have a little bit of extra pain to draw upon. Hence the songwriting aspect. And then you throw in the addiction and for a while it's like, yeah, oh yeah, I'm so high and I write such great songs when I'm loaded. And then all of a sudden this thing we're using for this magic musical writing power starts killing us and destroying our lives. And then we're in an industry where everybody's doing it.
Yep.
And you're really screwed. How the heck do I get out? So, hi, Mindy.
Hi, how's it going?
So good. Do I seem frazzled? I'm trying to pull it off.
You're doing good.
Now that we got the show, now that the we've got the plane off the runway. So, do you want to tell everybody how old you are?
Yeah, I'm 24 years old.
24?
24, yeah.
Yes. You look, you know, fresh and young and vibrant,
yes,
healthy.
Yes.
That's what the word I was looking for. Cool. And you're sober?
Yes.
How long do you have?
5 years.
5 years?
5 years sober, yep.
So, what was it? 19?
Yeah.
Yep. Wow. That's so cool. And so that was one of the things that really excited me about having you on, is because it's cool to spread it out, right? Obviously, if I had plenty of my rock star dudes that are, you know, 30, 40, 50 years old. But it's really a testament when people get it at a young age.
Yeah.
I can't imagine getting sober at 19. Yeah. I had a lot more research to do.
Yeah.
So you'll have a very valuable message that a young, you know, musician, rock star like yourself found a way out. So let's get into the story.
Yeah.
That's what we like to do.
Yeah.
Tell me, and this is where it's up to you, where do you want to start it? Like, where did you start sensing problems in your life? For some people, it's like, hey, when I was like six, I just did not feel right, or there's a traumatic event. Where do you kick it off?
I'd say like in high school, you know, when I entered in from middle school to high school, I really didn't fit in as well, you know, as the other girls did. And, you know, I was always a tomboy. I grew up with two brothers. So, mm-hmm. And because of that, it kind of like, I was like the target at school, you know. And so just with that, and like my mom, she every day at home, she would be there for me, you know, every day, and she'd be like, things got better, you know. But she ended up getting diagnosed. She was in the hospital. She got diagnosed with endometriosis. And so that was like my low point where like I really didn't have anyone, you know, so.
Yeah, tough. So let's back up. You said something. You were a target. You were bullied?
Yes. Yeah, bad. Yeah.
So, and you're not, for the folks listening, not in the studio, when I'm looking at Mindy talk, you can see the emotion in your face.
Yeah.
And I think that's really important to acknowledge. And I was just telling you before we went on air, we just did this workshop today.
Yep.
And it was all about getting that stuff out because so many of us go through stuff and maybe we're even taught like, oh, big deal. So they picked on me. I'm fine. Like it didn't hurt me, but it does damage. Even you saying the words, I could see your facial expressions, you know, so it's real.
It is.
I get it.
Yep.
So because you had two brothers, what, your brother's friends picked on you or?
No, I was a tomboy growing up just because I had grew up with two brothers, you know, so kind of doing like the guy thing and just. Wearing sweatshirts and sweatpants to school was like a comfy thing for me.
Yeah.
You know, and just because of that, the kids really didn't like it. And, you know, I just kind of set it. I didn't ever fit in, you know.
They just want to pick on you.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
They just do it. Yeah. You know, that's funny because just a couple nights ago, I was going through a little tough thing in my head. And I've been asking the universe, the angels, the guides, like, show me what I got to find. That's deeper work that I can acknowledge. Where's the growth for me? And I was lying in bed like 5 a.m. and, you know, I'm no spring chicken. It started going through everybody that ever bullied me. I didn't even think of it like, hey, I've been bullied. But my brain or my soul or the Holy Spirit, who knows what it is, was like, this time. And it was a tool for me to go, whoa, that's why I got this damage that was affecting me today.
Yep.
So I love that you're talking about it.
Yeah.
So,
yeah.
So how'd that make you feel?
It made me feel bad. I mean, like, I had to mix a lot of emotions because I think, like, the worst thing that anyone can feel is, like, you're alone.
Yeah.
And, like you don't have anyone. Like, you're just by yourself and facing it by yourself.
Yeah.
So, I mean, I felt really just alone and neglected, kind of, you know, because nobody really accepted me and nobody really wanted to even give me a chance to be accepted, you know.
It hurts, doesn't it?
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah.
It hurt me a lot. Like, I didn't understand. Why? What'd I do?
Yep.
Some guy just, like, started saying, Wesley Gear wears dirty underwear, and he wouldn't stop. I know it doesn't sound that bad, but he was, like, picking on me. Next thing you know, me and him in first grade were fighting, and he's punching me, and his dad comes out of his house, and his dad's going, kick his butt. I'm like, why am I getting in a fight
what did
right
you
now?
Do?
Anyhow, but, yeah, I can relate. That's my point.
Yeah.
So did you realize you had the pain then? Because sometimes we just kind of put on our mask and go.
I mean, I did because I wanted to actually like have someone there for me, you know. So, but in a way, it kind of took me a little bit to really settle in, you know.
We stuff it.
Yep.
Kind of like pick yourself up, dust yourself off, keep going.
Yep.
So, but you acknowledge you had some emotional pain from bullying and stuff. And so, when did the drugs or the getting loaded start?
So it was like a week into high school. I was a freshman.
Yeah.
And that was when my mom got checked into the hospital, you know, for the first time. And that's when we discovered that she had endometriosis.
Mm-hmm.
And I went to a party that weekend for homecoming. And I ended up getting offered some drugs at the party. And so because of just everything with the bullying and like my mom in the hospital, I started using it at that party. And, you know, right from there, it's like, wow, I'm numb now, you know?
Yeah. I know that feeling. Now, what's curious to me, though, is it sounds like you're pretty insightful about why you got loaded. Is that something you figured out now, or did you know at the time, like, I need to check out, or did just you were doing it and didn't know why?
Yeah, I was doing it. I didn't know why.
Yeah. Isn't that funny? Was it peer pressure, or you're just like...
It was peer pressure at first, but then... You know, when that feeling kind of hit me, it kind of just took everything away, you know, and so that's when it really all kicked in.
Yeah, I know what you mean.
Yep.
And so how bad, how fast? I mean, did it take a while to get going or what?
No, right away. Right away, I was from the get-go, you know, everything, all my pain and stuff, you know, went away, and I just started using daily right from there.
What were you using?
I started off with OxyContin, and just knowing that, everything that I was going through just was gone. So it was like the next morning, I'm like,
need some more of that.
Yeah, where can I get it to numb the pain that I'm going through right now?
Yeah. And so how old were you?
I was 19. Yep. I was 16.
16. Yeah. Okay. And so you just became instantly a daily OxyContin user.
Yeah. Yeah.
So first, this is kind of something we chronicle a lot, is that first it works for us, right?
Yeah.
Like, hey, I'm hurting. Hey, I take this and I don't hurt anymore.
Yep.
And that's what lets what we call the disease progress, right? Because that's what happens. It gets worse, worse, worse before we stop. If it just stays, hey, this is helping me out, why ever quit, right?
Yep.
So what were the signs that it started becoming a problem?
I'd say, yes, it got to the point where I was stealing from people, you know, and, you know, just things kind of got out of hand. And I really knew, like, wow, you know, I really have an issue right now, you know, and I didn't know what to do about it. You know, at that point, you're so lost in this vicious cycle that you're not sure, you know, what you can do.
Yeah. So how long did that go on for?
It went on for about four years, I'd say, throughout my whole high school career.
So you you were doing OxyContin. Did you start, you said out in the waiting room.
Yes.
That you started doing some other stuff too.
Yeah. Yeah. After I got out of high school, I had this best friend that was my go-to, you know, person that I met throughout high school.
To pick up?
Yeah, and we had one thing in common, you know, that was using. And, you know, so she ended up, me and her, we went to the city, and we went to go originally pick up more Oxy, but the guy only had crack cocaine. And so we got that, and that's where that started right away.
Yeah. And that's a progression, right?
Yeah.
That's like when people say my drug of choice, I get what they're saying, but it kind of bothers me too, because your drug of choice was Oxy, take it away, and your drug of choice is what do you got?
Yep, exactly. Right. Whatever you can get, yeah.
That's how I felt too. So, and plus, when you're powerless, are you really choosing the drug?
Yeah, right? Yeah.
You know,
yeah.
My drug of choice is heroin. Really? Are you choosing to use it? I think pretty much your heroin's B word. I don't even want to say it. I can't say it. FCC.
Yep.
They know. So, how about your parents or school? Was school getting bad? Were the parents picking up on it? Were your friends going, you don't look so good, or what?
Yeah, the school knew. You know, they tried kind of like getting me to go to counseling and stuff.
Where'd you go to school?
I went to Clarence High School.
In where?
That's Clarence, New York.
Clarence,
right outside of Buffalo.
All right. Yep. So, smaller town?
Yeah, it's a small town, yeah.
I mean, because I feel when you're saying the school knew, the schools I was in getting loaded, I feel like nobody knew. But then again, maybe they did, but
yeah,
it's a smaller school.
Yeah,
vibe.
It's a smaller town and school, so, like, really, pretty much, like, everybody knows everybody, you know?
Yeah.
So, yeah, everyone kind of knew.
Huh, you know? They were on it. So, and then, because I did stuff like that in high school, you know? Putting cocaine on weed and taking a bong hit and going to drafting class. At the time, I'm like, yeah. And now I'm like, when I was 15.
Yep.
So when I see a kid 15 and imagine him doing that, you're like, you're a baby.
Yep.
So I'm just saying, you're 16, 17, and you're smoking crack.
Yep.
That's insane.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Yeah. Which is step two of the 12 steps, right? Came to believe a power that are greater than ourselves could restore us to sanity. That's what it is. Saying that we're insane and we need something bigger than ourselves to help us, right?
Yep.
I'm just quoting it. That's all.
That's what's up.
So, what was... Oh, you know what we're going to do? Hold on. This is a good place. We're going to throw in a song right now.
All right.
All
cool.
Right?
Sounds good.
Yeah, yeah. Uh-huh. This is a song we were talking about earlier. This is a band that I just love. It's Fantagram. And I hit this button right here, huh? That one? Okay, good thing Ernesto's here. We don't want to get 80 songs going at once. This is Fantagram doing You Don't Get Me High Anymore. Haha. Wes was right. Rock Recovery Radio, KX93.5.
My God.
That song. I mean, isn't that our story, right? I used to take one, then I took four. You don't get me high anymore. That's kind of what happens, isn't it?
Yes.
So tell me, we were talking about it. I guess in radio you call it in the break. Was that the break during the break? Yeah, because it's a break in our talking, huh?
Yep.
So we were talking about it. Tell me what was happening as your life starts crumbling down.
I lost so much, you know, when everything was crumbling down, you know, I was arrested my first time, you know.
For what?
I was arrested for possession. It started off with...
That's a felony.
Yeah. I got possession with pain pills, and they sent me to an outpatient rehab, but when I got to that outpatient rehab, I ended up coming up, and I found a drug to replace that, which was like a fake methamphetamine, and that...
What was it?
It was called Pump It.
Oh.
It's
like, this sounds like something they'd sell at 7-Eleven or something.
It is, actually. Okay. Yeah, they're trying to get it banned.
Yeah. So you tested dirty for Pump It?
No, well, I actually, when I went to, it's kind of undetected. You couldn't detect it. So I kind of just did my thing and got away with it. You know?
Oh, so, okay. This is great because I always trip out on this, yet it makes total sense.
Yeah.
We're powerless, right? The drugs are making the choices. So you're in an outpatient program.
Yep.
Right? Hey, yep. I'm here to get help. But meanwhile, yeah.
Yeah.
So what happens next?
I ended up for the 6 months because I was on ACD.
What's that?
It's a kind of a minor probation. And they basically could, like, randomly drug test you.
Mm-hmm.
And so that's why I kind of did the undiscovered thing for 6 months, because I knew that once the 6 months was up, like, I can go back out on the street again and pick up again.
Right.
Which is exactly what I did.
So you had no intention of staying sober.
No.
Yeah.
No.
So at that point, which I think so many of us have been there, people are trying to tell you things and teach you in the programs, and it's just bouncing off you, huh?
Yeah, yeah.
So you got out of there, and then what? So you weren't done. You know what I mean? And just like me, you get in trouble, and the normal, quote, normal person might go, hey, I'm getting in trouble. Let me take a break from this. And you're like, heck no. This is how I beat the system.
Yep, yep.
And then what happens?
I got right back on the street. After my 6 months, I started using again, you know, and this time it was...
This was the crack?
Yeah, it was a little bit of both, because I started using Oxy again, too, you know, and so it was a little bit of both, and whatever I could get my hands on that day was what I used.
Yeah.
Yep.
And so what happened?
We ended up... I ended up getting arrested a second time, and it was, like, not even, like, 3 months after my first, you know, probation ended, and I ended up getting arrested, except the same judge this time threw me in an inpatient rehab.
Smart guy.
Yeah. So I knew.
How'd you feel when you heard that?
It was scary, man, because like I at this point I was like, all right, for the past like 4 years now, I've been coping with my pain and all this stuff with
emotional pain.
It's like, so how am I gonna cope now? Like, what am I gonna do? What are the next steps? You know, what's gonna happen? You know, so. Mm-hmm.
What's going to happen if you stop doing the drugs, I mean?
Yeah, exactly. Right. Like, what's going to happen? You know, how am I going to cope with this? You know?
Yeah.
And so I ended up graduating from rehab. But before a week into rehab, I found out I was pregnant with my daughter.
Oh.
A week into my rehab, yep.
Did this happen in rehab?
Yeah. So the judge ordered me to go to inpatient, and a week into the inpatient rehab, I found out I was pregnant with her.
Was that a rehab romance?
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, I fell in love in rehab like 9 different times.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It was a wake-up call. It was a wake-up call, you know, because especially now it's like, all right, you know, from before how I BS'd, you know, the whole process, and now it's like, wow, you know, I have a child. I'm carrying a child now, so anything I put in my body after this, you know, rehab is it's going to affect her, you know?
So when you went into that rehab, what did you feel different about the experience? Were you more intent on listening and getting sober?
Yeah. I was definitely more intent, you know, and I definitely tried to use every tool that they offered me to just get myself on track where I needed to be.
Okay, so what I'm hearing is after that second arrest and the judge sends you, that you became willing.
Yes. Yep.
Yeah. So what was the first things that you heard or grabbed onto that helped you?
I'd say success stories.
Yeah.
You know, I really kind of like motivation. It motivated me to get sober, you know, so like I just try to talk to so many people or surround myself with people that's been through recovery. And that kind of just that really helped me. That helped me.
Yeah, me too.
Yeah.
That made me believe in the process of recovery, because I tell this story all the time. But I remember a gal coming in, and I was at a speaker meeting, and she's like, I was a prostitute, turning tricks, shooting dope, living in a park, and I did 12 steps, and my life's amazing. And I went back to school, and I met the man of my dreams, and we have this amazing family, and now I run a law firm. And I was like, what? Because, you know, if your life's like mine, it's not just the drugs or the emotional pain, but your whole life's unmanageable. Like, everything seems so hard. I couldn't keep a job. I couldn't find my career. Of course, love life is not going well. Yep. So when you hear somebody who's like, they found love, a career, and they're staying sober and they're pumped up, you're like, okay, I want to try that.
Yep.
At least I was, right?
Yep.
Yeah, that's cool. So you're pregnant with your daughter.
Yep.
And when did you find out, like, how far? How long did you stay in inpatient rehab?
I graduated the six months day.
Okay, how long into it were you when you found
out? Oh, when I found out, I was a week in rehab. Yep,
it was like
the first week. Yeah.
Wow.
So it was definitely like a sign for me, you know, because it was like, wow, you know, I prayed every day and couldn't can you please, you know, put me, at least get in recovery, help me, you know, and it's like a week into rehab, my second time being arrested, like, wow, I have my daughter, you know.
Yeah. You know, I have this theory about people who get sober, and I'm not saying all of them, but I can't tell you how many times I've heard them say something to the effect, even if they're atheists or agnostic, right? They call them the foxhole prayers, right? Like, do you believe in God? No. Okay, then if you're out on the battlefield and a bomb's coming, you go, oh, God, please. Right? All of a sudden, everybody will start praying, save me, God.
Yep.
Wait, you said you didn't believe in God. So I'm not trying to push God in any sense of the word, but I have noticed so many, because that's everybody's own journey.
Yep.
But I have noticed so many people said, I just blubbered out, God, help me, or please help me, or some, you know, something. And I did the same thing, too, when I had my when I hit my bottom. It just hit me. They call it the moment of clarity. So I was like, what? I couldn't figure out what's wrong with me. Okay, probably I do too much drugs, but why all this other stuff happened to me? And then it just hit me, and I started crying. It's like, you're out of control, dude. And that was that's when it hit me. And then I had that little conversation with the big man, like, help me, man. I need help.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. You reach out at that point. You know, you're trying to reach out to anybody and anything at that point, you know.
Mm-hmm. Yep. You could be all scientific about it, too. Even Einstein says that it's a fact of the universe that like energy attracts like energy. It's undeniable. It cannot. So if you're like, I need the energy of help and people who are willing to help me, you're going to attract it. If you don't want to get into the God thing, I personally think it's a higher power, spirit of the universe, but teach their own. Right?
Yeah.
So, how'd you feel when you were first getting sober? A lot of people don't like it so much.
It was different, you know, like, because I've never had that point in time where it was like, I was sober. I was always high, you know?
Mm.
So when I was in rehab and I knew that, you know, I'm pregnant, you know, I have to, you know, I'm taking this seriously. I felt amazing. You know, it was different because it was scary because my body was so used to it, but it's an amazing feeling. You know, it was really, truly a blessing, you know?
Yeah. So how about this? Because you're worried about living life without your emotional painkillers, right? Did you have rocky times in your early days?
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Tell me about it.
Like rocky days, like bad days when I wanted to use, or?
Well, how'd it feel?
I took all the pain away, you know, and the rocky days, it sucked. You know, it sucked when you have off days, but you can always turn it around. You just got to, you know, think positive and stay positive and just have faith.
Right, but I want you to just go into that a little bit, though, because I think it's important that to understand that, like, even for some, because some people, I think they are going to get sober, but they're like, oh, you don't understand, when I try to get sober, it's so painful.
Yep.
But it's painful for the success stories. Yep. I've had, like, suicidal thoughts, right? Like, I know I can't drink and use, and your brain's like, why don't you just take yourself out? You're like, who said that? No. Or maybe not. We lose people like that too, right?
Yeah. Oh yeah.
So go into that a little bit. When you don't have your emotional painkiller, right?
Yep.
When you're having a bad day, what's it feel like?
It's, you know, for me, I'd say, like, when I didn't have, you know, painkillers and stuff to go through it, I kind of looked to music a lot just because I was down, you know, like,
mm-hmm.
and I suffered from, like, depression, you know, like there's days where, you know, I would wake up and I'd be like, you know, I didn't want to do anything that day, you know. And
sloth.
Yeah, it's like you don't want to do anything, you know. And
yeah.
So I definitely say it's a really, really, really crappy feeling, you know, when you first have nothing,
mm-hmm.
you know. But I thank God I had music.
Yeah.
You know.
It's a good outlet. Yeah, similar thing. Yeah. Did you lose your, you know, connection? Like, you weren't probably playing as much music when you're all cracked out.
No.
Right.
No, not at all.
And that's a good thing that I like to point out with the powerlessness, right? Because you'll hear stories of, like, a mom has a child and, you know, does so many drugs, the child gets taken away, proving, like, hey, not much stronger love in the world than a mom's love for her child. Yep. And if the drugs make you lose that, probably powerless.
Yep.
For me, my biggest love at the time was music and guitar and all that, and by the end I could care about my, you could have taken all my guitars, I'd be like, who cares?
Yep.
But then when I got sober, music really helped.
Yep.
yeah So what was some of the key things that helped you feel good when you're in those spots, aside from music? You mentioned that.
Yep.
But, like, I think it's important to share the tools. Like, we're in those horrible spots.
Yeah.
We don't feel good.
Yep.
What was the key for you?
I'd say the key for me was to try to find a way to get through it. Obviously, number one would be the number one, but family.
Mm.
You know, like, my family was there for me. You know, so when I didn't have anything, I would always try to surround myself with positive people. you know, that would bring me up. That's number one. And then family, just family. You know, they helped me through everything on my bad days.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. When we're getting loaded, we have our loady friends, our loady lifestyle, yep. and our drugs and or booze or whatever, right? Yep. And then you take it away, and we got what? We got a giant hole.
Yep.
And I can't think of a worse place to be in, because I've experienced it firsthand, and you have too, than being sober and alone and trying to do it on
yeah.
your own.
Especially when you have like friends and like people that you used to hang out with.
Yeah.
But now you're separating yourself
exactly.
from that. You got it's like okay, now what?
Yeah. Yeah. What grows in the dark, right? You're yep. just in the dark by yourself. That's why for me, I had like you're saying, I had to find people who were sober who could show me a way out.
Yep.
And luckily I had people like, you know, Sonny Mayo, who was on tour with us. He's like, you're in our band and you're not getting loaded. This is just weird. How do you do that? Can you show me how to do that? You know? So it's cool. So let's take a little break here. We are on KX93.5 FM here with Mindy Davey. She's sharing her story with us about how she made it out of the throes of addiction and could start shining again like a rock star. And so we're going to play one of her songs. I'm going to hit the F12 button. That's what I'm going to do, Ernesto. hey, new guy at the studio. And I got to turn up these faders right here. So this is Fall by Mindy Davey. Do you want to set this up, what the song means to you, what it's about?
Yeah, it's all about my addiction, and then it's all about my recovery and getting sober.
I dig it.
Yep.
Here we go.
So alone, but always remember you can make it out. We all fall, but we all rise. Let's go. We all fall, but we rise together. It's what this world. She kept cutting class, just not showing up at all.
No.
And one day, she just dropped out and gave up. Threw in the towel and signed all her papers. And all the angels and the demons, yeah, they're screaming out. Go get your fix, or go get some help. Finally, she lost all that she had. Seen the pain and the hurt in her mom and dad. That Monday, she checked herself in. You up tonight. We all fall, but we rise together. That's what this world needs is to band together. So let's all stand and let's come together. Cause it's what this world needs is to band together. We can't.
That was cool. That's a good song.
Thank you.
I like how it got all trippy there at the end.
Yep.
With the positivity. A little bit dubbish. That's awesome. When did you write that song?
I wrote that actually right after I got out of rehab. Mm-hmm. And I had my daughter. Mm-hmm. I just sat down in my room and went to town, started writing all my emotions out.
Just came out?
Yep.
That's cool.
Yeah.
So your daughter's 5?
She's 4 now. She's going to be 5 in July.
Yep. Do you show her your songs?
Yeah, she actually comes on tour with me and
comes
to my shows, yeah.
That's cool.
Yep.
You think she's going to be in your band?
I hope so. she sings all the time to all my songs.
Does.
So, yeah.
It's in you. Now, where did your music come from? You got a musical family?
Yes. Yeah, my mom and my grandma and, grandparents have always done music. Yeah.
Well, that's cool. So you grew up listening to music?
Yes. Oh, yeah.
Yeah. Thank God for music, huh?
Oh, yeah. Saved my life.
Yeah. So one thing I like to focus on here is, what it's like now, in your life. And you go on tour, you're active, you're going around. And what do you do to stay sober? What do you think is crucial for you to stay sober?
I think for me, mm-hmm. The crucial thing for me is to stay positive. Positivity and surrounding myself with positive people that are sober is like a main key for me. I got rid of all my contacts and stuff, and bad people, that I didn't want to hang out with. And so the key for me is to just stay positive and hang out with positive people. And
do you have to do any, let's say nobody's around,
yep,
and you're having a real bad day?
Yep.
Because they come.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah.
What do you do?
I pick up my guitar.
Yeah.
If anything where my brain's like, wow, you're having a really, really, crappy day, mm-hmm. I'll just pick up my guitar and I'll write about it,
Yeah.
Or I'll
let
just,
it out.
Yeah. Or just sing a song, in general, it just helps.
Yeah. Did you learn anything when you're in the inpatient program that you took out with you? Because I'm sure, they didn't just say, hey, everybody here, if you're struggling, just play guitar. I'm sure there's more to it than that.
Yep.
Was there anything in there?
Yeah,
that was useful?
I'd say the one thing that was my key was I always thought that because my friends, because I was clean,
yeah,
hanging out with my friends that were using was okay because they were still my friends.
Yeah.
But I think the key in rehab, what they taught me was to get rid of all those people that use, even around you, even if they use and they're not around you, stay away from them, And that really gave me a lot. It woke me up a lot.
Yeah. Yeah, I've heard so many stories where it's like, I was just going to go over his house. I mean, so they were shooting dope. I mean, I'm not going to do any.
Yep.
Yeah. There's a thing that they talk about, too, which is in recovery, a lot of times, they have the saying, to thine own self be true. And a lot of times in recovery, they talk about this concept that your brain will tell you something that seems to make perfect sense and to be logical. And it's really just an excuse to get you loaded again. For example, I was helping a guy out, and he's like, I thought I could just deal heroin and not do any. To us, we're like, that sounds obviously horrible, but to him, it made so much sense at the time.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yeah. Yep.
Yeah. And I've been there. We were just talking about it on the break. When I stopped doing my recovery program after I had a couple years, I was like, I think Coors Light was not my problem, and I'll be okay drinking Coors Light. But I already knew it was my problem. I just forgot because I had moved away from it and went down with a bunch of stoner drinkers to Cancun. And next thing you know, I was off to the races.
Yep.
Yeah. So what's the hardest thing you faced sober that you got through?
Whew. I would have to say the hardest thing would be having my daughter.
Mm-hmm.
I just got out of high school, I just got sober the second time, but this time it was actually a real sober, I'm committed to this.
Mm-hmm.
And so there's good days and bad days, and me just being a new mom, it's like wow, days aren't as smooth with a little child, so.
Yeah, it's a lot of responsibility.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah.
Yeah. I'm like 80 years old, and I can't even imagine taking care of a kid.
Yeah.
You're quite a bit younger than me.
Yeah, no, it's difficult.
Yeah, that's cool. What, do you care telling us what your daughter's name is?
Yeah, her name is Ariana.
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 I love it. Did you name her after Ariana Grande?
How'd you know?
Did you really?
No, no. No, my husband's Italian and Sicilian, so we chose an Italian name.
So you got married?
Yes.
Okay,
yes.
When did this happen?
This past June, last year. June of last year, yeah.
How was that getting married sober? Is he a sober dude?
Yes. He's actually been sober my entire time, you know.
So you met him in rehab?
I actually met him in high school.
Oh.
He was by my side the whole way. You
high
know?
School sweetheart?
Yep.
And it's baby daddy?
Yes.
Aw, yeah. See, yeah. There are happy endings,
there
huh?
There is.
Yeah, so what would your message be to, you know, young gals, even young guys trying to get sober?
I'd say not to give up. You know, too many people think that they should just give up and not keep trying to become sober,
mm-hmm.
but you shouldn't, you know, like I could have gave up my first time. I could have gave up my second time, but I didn't, you know, and that's, I think the key is to just keep that hope coming, you know, and don't give up.
I love it. Yeah. Some people feel like they're not worthy.
Yeah.
Or I'm not good enough.
Yep.
Or this won't work for me. It works for you, but not me.
Yep.
Right.
Yep.
That's a great one. They have that
and
saying.
That's another thing too, is like a lot of people can relate to your story, but we're all different, you know, and we all have different ways to get sober, and we all have different, you know, we're all human beings, you know, so I'd say to find a way that works for you, you know, because not all ways are going to work for you, you know.
Yeah, there's different ways,
yeah,
right?
Yeah, there's always different ways.
Do you do meetings or support groups or anything?
Yeah, I used to. I don't do them now as often because I'm, you know, I'm on the road and stuff, and I'm speaking, and I used to go to a lot of meetings once I got out of rehab and I had my daughter. You know, I'd have Friday nights where I'd go to meetings and, you know, my husband would watch the baby. And
yeah. So what about challenges on the road? You ever backstage and somebody's like, hey, I got some cocaine?
Yeah. Oh, yeah. I mean, like, there's times where I would go, you know, I would go out, you know, and I'd be at, like, a venue, you know, a local bar or whatever. And, you know, of course, you'd always have people that are doing it around you. Not all the time do I get offered. But it's more of the fact that you're in that position and you see somebody else that's doing it. And that motion aspect is really hard. It's difficult.
So you still find some difficult, it's maybe a little temptation or that little voice.
Yeah. But, you know, it's something that you just gotta work through, you know. Like for me, I try to avoid all of those situations as much as possible.
Have you ever come close to picking up where you're like, ooh, that was a close one?
Yeah, you know, it's a couple times.
Yeah.
Just because the depression, you know, I suffer, you know, a lot from depression, and you know, there's days where I'll be like, okay, you know, well, what if I do this?
Yeah.
It's like, whoa, like, look at how much I've achieved now, and my daughter, you know, and my husband, and you know, I kind of just reevaluate everything. It's like, I came so far, I'm not going back.
Yeah. Would you say that you're living life?
Oh yeah, for sure, for sure.
Right on.
One day at a time. Yeah.
So let's play another song of yours. Tell me, you want to set this one up, or is it kind of self-explanatory?
It's I mean, it's just, you know, I think a lot of us get caught up in daily life and we forget to live life, man. You know, life's too short, and you know, just live life to the fullest and stay positive, you know.
Kind of like a stop and smell the roses thing.
Exactly. Yes.
Exactly.
Yep.
Yeah. Okay, Ernesto, do I want to hit this button? Yeah. All right. Here we go. This is KX93.5 FM. Oh, and I almost forgot. I'm the worst radio host ever. This show is brought to you by the station, of course, but also our friends at New Vista Behavioral Health. There's a lot of treatment programs out there, and Rock to Recovery works with so many of them. Some of them I wouldn't have my worst enemies go to. New Vista Behavioral Health is amazing people doing amazing work, and they were early on to support a lot of stuff we do with Rock to Recovery and Rock to Recovery Radio. So if you're looking for help, New Vista Behavioral Health is somebody I think you should talk to. Having said that, here comes some music from Mindy Davey.
Shining outside, music blaring loud, feeling like it's summertime. Yeah, we're driving all around, riding with my shades on, riding with my windows down. Leave
can we find a place to park? Dreaming this crazy dream, it seems so bizarre. Reaching as high into the stars as I can. Walking this path, saving as many lives as I can. So let's throw our hands up, cause we're not giving up.
Finding your purpose. That's what we're going to talk about right now. But first, I got to be a pro radio dude and say, this is Wesley Gear, your host on Rock to Recovery Radio on KX93.5 FM, Laguna's only FM station. And like I said a second ago, it's brought to you by New Vista Behavioral Health. So really quick, I wanted to ask you, tell me about this front of the line contest you won and how that felt all, because I've done some music stuff sober and it really can get you jacked up in a good way.
Yeah.
Tell me about that.
So I went through Indie, a music submission website. It's indie.com.
Yeah.
And they were doing a contest for America's Got Talent.
Yeah.
And so just, I was in Minnesota and I was like, you know what, I'm going to just submit a video and see what happens. And so I submitted Don't Let Me Down by the Chainsmokers. I did a cover for that. And it went overnight. We went from 5,000 votes to 25,000 votes.
Nice.
And that put me in the front of the line. You know, it put me in number one. And we won.
That's so awesome.
So they flew us out to, in this past November, they flew us out to Cincinnati, Ohio.
Yeah.
And put us up in a hotel. And we ended up getting to audition with the producer from the show.
Yeah.
Which was super, super awesome.
It was so cool.
Yes.
I love hearing that because it's like, you know, you think that the drugs and the booze are going to get you there. And really, it was your sobriety and your new lifestyle that got you there.
Yes.
Yeah. So now you're like a beacon of hope and a role model for, you know, anybody who wants to hear that you don't have to live a loaded life.
Yep.
But I think especially for people who are younger, because I think a lot of younger people don't believe that young people get and stay sober. You know, oh, it's old guys that smoke cigarettes.
Yeah.
So what do you do?
I currently travel. I travel the country now, and I talk to schools. I talk to rehab centers.
Mm-hmm.
You know, anywhere I can really make a difference just in telling my story and, you know, hopefully prevent other people from going down that same path.
That is so cool.
Yeah.
Have you had people hit you up and tell you, hey, you really helped me?
Actually, it's a funny story. I was in Minnesota. I did a Minnesota school
tour.
Minnesota, yeah.
I have to say that.
we did a school tour out there in Duluth, and we ended up. I went to go get tacos from Taco John's, and I've never.
How are tacos in Minnesota?
They're really good, actually.
Uh-huh.
Taco John's
sure
is a good place.
Oh my God.
Yeah. So. Yeah, we walked in and, you know, for the first time, these kids, they were all at the table and they approached me and they're like, hey, you know, are you Mindy Davey? You just spoke at our school, you know, and they were thanking me up and down for being an inspiration to them. And we took some photos and, so it's cool to be able to go into these places, tell my story and then have people really take something out of it and use it in their own lives and then thank me for it.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's really cool. It's really awesome.
Yeah, we hear ourselves in other people's stories, right?
Yeah.
And just you have an ending on yours that's good. So maybe they say, hey, I was doing that stuff too, but I can change course.
Yeah.
And, you know, for people out there that if you're tracking the story, you know, you have the shame and guilt and you're feeling horrible. And remember earlier you said, how could I live my life without this emotional painkiller?
Yeah.
Right? But then what we do is when we tell our story and we start helping other people, that becomes the high.
Yep. Yes, it does.
There's no better painkiller than sharing love, huh?
No, there's not. I literally love what I do. You know, just to see the faces go from, you know, hopeless to actually having hope is it tells me that I'm doing my job and helping people get through what they're getting through, you know, going through in life.
Yeah, cool. Yeah. So what's next for you?
Currently we're booking places all around the country, and you know, we came here to talk to a couple people and introduce ourselves, and we're gonna be coming back to LA, you know, coming out this later this year, and
we out here.
Yeah, and we're gonna be speaking. We're speaking as
yo. We out here. Yeah, in L.A. You had a gig last night in Santa Monica. How'd that go?
It went really good. It went really good. Yeah. I met a couple of people, you know, local musicians and stuff, and yeah.
I love it. So tell me, if people want to find you or find your music.
We are all over. Mindy Davey Music. The album is called Humanity.
Mm-hmm.
That's on iTunes, Spotify, and Google Play. And then I'm on all social media handles, Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter, as well as YouTube, Mindy Davey Music.
Can people, like, hit you up and DM you and go, hey, I'm struggling?
For sure.
I get that all the time.
I actually literally, I push to do that, you know, like, because you're never alone in it, and a lot of people can relate to each other, you know, so anybody that wants to throw me a DM, I'm always there for them, you know?
So, yo, DM me, dog. That's cool. Well, I really enjoyed talking to you.
Yes.
You have such a beautiful, you know, you're a beautiful girl, but the energy you have is so pure and full of life. I don't know. These adjectives are hard for me. Am I doing all right?
You're doing amazing.
Yeah. Okay, good.
You're
okay,
doing amazing.
Good. No, you just have a great glow about you, and it's a testament to the work you're doing and the message you're carrying.
Yeah.
Anything else you want to say before we blast off?
Recovery is possible.
Yeah, recovery is possible.
Yep.
I always like to say at the end of the show, of course, this has been Rock to Recovery Radio. I'm your host, Wesley Gear, KX935.com. We've been here with Mindy Davey. And I always like to tell people, you're good enough. You're worth it. There's nobody that's too sick to recover. There's always somebody that was sicker or had a worse life, a tougher go of it, with less resources than you that did it. And there are so many people out there that would love to help you recover, that would love the opportunity to listen to you, because that's how we stay sober. Me helping you keeps me sober another day. You heard it from Mindy right here. Again, this is Rock to Recovery Radio. Thanks for tuning in. We out.